Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night. Sometimes going to the grocery store can be chaotic. There doesn't seem to be enough time to check the list, make sure everything is there, search for the best prices, and take the time to make sure you got the best quality meat. So let ButcherBox help you out. Giving you peace of mind, ButcherBox delivers high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust straight to your door. No grocery carts required. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or hormones, 100% grass-fed, free-range, and crate-free. What more can you ask for? What about free shipping, customized box plans, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, tips, and tricks? You really can't go wrong with ButcherBox. Sign up at butcherbox.com/morningcup and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/morningcup and use code morningcup to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning.
Cup of murder.
Sometimes a simple murder investigation can uncover something strange and unusual. On July 6, 1982, a man was killed, and in investigating the men who committed the crime, police uncovered a strange motive worthy of a fantasy novel. So, if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. On the night of July 13, 1982, a tugboat operator in Marin County, California, came across the body of 36-year-old Richard A. Baldwin, bound at the neck and ankles with television cable, rope, and duct tape, wrapped in a plastic tarp and bamboo screen, and weighed down with a small motor. Richard Baldwin, prior to receiving a skull fracture and being stabbed in the heart, owned a vintage auto restoration shop in San Rafael, and, as police would soon find out, had been dead for about 7 days, placing his time of death at July 6, 1982. Just 3 days later, 29-year-old Mark Richards was arrested while in the company of two 17-year-old boys, Cross and David Hoover and a boy known only as Andrew, and they were brought in for questioning. According to the investigators, Crossy, to his friends, had been bragging for days about how he and Mark clubbed and stabbed Richard Baldwin to death inside of his auto shop. Mark, who had actually been a friend of Richard's and who had employed the young men involved in his murder. In searching their homes, police found several guns and a trash bag full of marijuana, all believed to have been taken from Richard's home using a stolen house key. And in speaking with Cross and Hoover, the loose-lipped accomplice, in a 90-minute confession, told the police that he and Mark Richards planned the murder in order to get back the $3,000 Richard allegedly owed him. Crossan agreed to help after Mark promised him $5,000 and a car, and said that his only regret was his poor planning, saying that he should have gotten the cash before the murder so he could have, quote, taken off for Brazil or someplace. At the time of the murder, Mark, a contractor, Crossan, and Andrew were remodeling Richard's home and lured their friend-slash-employer to the auto shop on the pretext of looking at his inventory of classic cars. When ready, Mark gave the signal and Crossan hit him across the head with a baseball bat. He struck three more times and then stabbed him with both a knife and a screwdriver. Sure he was dead, Mark and Crossan returned to Richard's home, where Andrew had been standing guard, and removed both the guns, marijuana, and a safe from the property. They then went to work wrapping up Richard's body, took a boat out onto the water, and dumped him in the bay. When asked, Mark Richards vehemently denied any involvement in Richard's murder and even offered an alibi that, in the end, turned out to be a lie. When presented with the evidence that he used Richard's credit card and burglarized his home, Mark admitted to the allegations and said that he did so because he was owed his money, even going as far as to say that he had Richard's approval to use the credit card as a means to reduce the debt he owed. After some back and forth with the investigator, Mark, still denying he had anything to do with the murder, stopped defending his teenage accomplices and told the police that Cross and Hoover confessed to the murder. By now, police were almost certain that they had the men responsible for the crime securely in their custody. And from the looks of things, the case seemed like a pretty straightforward financially motivated crime. However, things were about to take a bizarre turn when reporter Eric Ingram warned the citizens of Marin that Richard Baldwin's murder may involve a secret organization called Pendragon, one that appeared to be planning an armed takeover of the entire county. According to the reports, when police went to search Mark Richard's home, not only did they find evidence connecting him to Richard's murder, but they found maps, aerial photographs of Marin County, schematics for a laser gun, instructions on how to build a machine gun, and, quote, notebooks containing references to a new form of government. When all of it was sifted through and pieced together, a clear and somewhat strange plan started to form. After building their laser gun, the members of Pendragon planned on placing their weapon atop Mount Tamalpais and pointing it across the Golden Gate Bridge. Then they would seal off all the roads leading in and out of Marin County while establishing a fortified headquarters in the San Francisco Theological Seminary. Once all of that was secured, they would destroy both the Golden Gate Bridge and the Richmond San Rafael Bridge, connecting Marin County with Contra Costa County, release the prisoners from San Quentin Prison, and, with Marin County now completely isolated from the rest of California, transform it into their idyllic kingdom modeled off of, you guessed it, the legendary Camelot. The leader of the group would serve as the Pendragon of Imperial Marin, and, as his first course of action, would knight all of his teenage followers for the work they did in creating their new kingdom. Now, while many were keen to believe this fantasy-inspired murder plot, men like Carl Shapiro, the attorney representing Mark Richards, came forward calling the report, quote, absurd upon absurd, and said that the documents police found during their search was actually research material for a science fiction book that Mark was writing. A sentiment backed by Mark's wife, who said the book, titled Imperial Marin, might have been published recently in Los Angeles, a fact that no one was able to confirm. The police investigating the murder plot agreed that the Pendragon conspiracy was far too outlandish to consider, and after being flooded with call after call from the local media, publicly stated that, quote, this is a homicide for financial gain, and regretted the, quote, silly, fantastic stories about some group taking over Marin, one that he feared may result in a trial venue change. The Independent Journal, who was the first to report on the Pendragon plot, did its best to try and calm the public and get the case back on track. However, in the weeks that followed, a number of people came forward claiming that Pendragon was, in fact, a very real organization. And Cross and Hoover told investigators that, in addition to being offered the money and the car, Mark had promised to appoint him the, quote, Duke of Angels Island if he helped to kill Richard Baldwin. A woman even came forward claiming that her son left the group about a month before the murder, claiming Mark Richards was, quote, getting really weird. Another said he attended a few Pendragon meetings, attending a four-hour meeting, and was offered $500 by Mark to recruit new members before leaving because he found it too far-fetched. And those who knew Mark personally told newspapers that he had been fascinated with medieval history, and spoke candidly about taking over California. There was also the fact that Mark had allegedly planned to lease the San Francisco Theological Seminary building in 1977 in order to house a school called Future Castle, one that would be a, quote, innovative academic community dedicated to the origins of a new renaissance, and have faculty members like William Shatner and George Lucas. The lease was later canceled for non-payment of rent. While many argue the validity of Pendragon and Mark's role in its creation, the courts kept working, and in August of 1982, a preliminary hearing of the charges against Mark Richards took place in the Marin Municipal Court. Andrew was the star witness, having been given immunity for his testimony, and the financial motive was reestablished for the courts. Satisfied with the evidence, the judge ordered a trial, and Mark was ordered released on a $250,000 bail. On January 11th, the defense filed a motion to prohibit any evidence relating to Pendragon, but the DA contended that the prosecution was entitled to show how Mark used his dream of conquest to manipulate the boys in his control. A week later, the Pendragon details were deemed admissible in the trial. After long delays, the trial finally began with Carl Shapiro, still representing Mark Richards, claiming that his client helped to cover up the murder of Richard Baldwin, a murder committed by Cross and Hoover, in a misguided attempt to save his teenage employee from the legal ramifications of his actions, maintaining that he had nothing to do with the murder and that it was Cross and Andrew who wanted to burglarize Richard. The prosecution, however, claimed that Mark, the real mastermind in the murder, used forged checks and stolen credit cards that belonged to the deceased and used the Pendragon group to manipulate the young boys who looked up to him. The trial was further delayed when the prosecution alleged that Mark Richards was in possession of a firearm. Witnesses were brought forward left and right. The cable found on Richards' body was matched to the wire found in Mark's pickup truck at the time of his arrest. The defense attempted to challenge the prosecution's chronological reconstruction of the crime, and the jury deliberated for a total of 4 days before coming back and finding Mark Richards guilty of first-degree murder. He was sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. Cross and Hoover was eventually found guilty as well and was sentenced to 26 years to life. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear what terrible thing happened on July 7th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there is always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.